It's just after 7 minutes to eight here on RN Summer Breakfast. And now, always at this time, he's a little bit earlier this morning, which is good. And that is Greg O'Mahony to discuss matters sport. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, John. Great to see you getting in the spirit, wearing the tennis whites.
Yes,
for,
I am.
Yep. For the weekend ahead.
My word. I always dress in white this time of year. Creams. Now, speaking of tennis, there was a scandal yesterday. Is this right, a scandal?
Huge. Oh, so I think scandal understates what unfolded on centre court yesterday.
Travesty,
injustice, breach of human rights. There's okay. All sorts of ways we could describe it.
And this is in connection with the world's number one women's player, Victoria Azarenka.
Yes, she got through, and you may have seen what occurred in the second set. She was up 5-3, had five match points, failed to convert all of them, and frankly, the wheels were really coming off. She then dramatically declared a medical emergency. Yes. And went to get medical assistance for 10 minutes, came back and won the match.
Oh, did this put off her younger opponent, the opponent who beat Serena Williams?
That's right, yeah. Sloane. It certainly did. She was just left sitting on the court for 10 minutes. Yeah. Amazingly, she didn't check her phone during that time.
Yeah.
But she just had to wait there. The real drama, I think, from Azarenka's point of view, is that immediately after the match, she blamed the medical break on nerves and a loss of breath.
Oh, yeah.
An hour later, she was saying she had a very serious rib complaint. So I think
was the rib complaint contributing to the loss of breath, Greg?
No, well, initially it was just nerves contributing to the loss of breath. And, you know,
nerves because she couldn't finish off. She was choking.
I think that's right. And John, you know full well, we've seen this has been a blight on the men's game for a long, long time. I mean, Boris Becker, Jason Stoltenberg were both masters of the tactical toilet break.
Yes.
And it's a real shame to see this sort of thing, I think, now creeping into women's tennis.
Yes. Well, I suppose John McEnroe did as well, didn't he?
Well, that's right. I mean, I think officials used to have to go into the cubicle to get McEnroe out with gloves on.
Yes.
He was taking so long in there.
Yeah, right. Well, is it a legitimate tactic? I mean, it's not against the rules. It might be against the spirit of the game, Greg. But she's not going to appear before some tennis investigative tribunal, is she?
There doesn't appear to be any chance of that. The coach of Sloane has come out and said, well, it's cheating within the rules, which is a bit of a contradiction in terms.
Cheating within the rules. I like that.
Very postmodern. So he's outraged. Sloane herself's very gracious about it, just saying she thinks it's mildly unfair, quote unquote. Okay. But that's the huge news in women's tennis. I don't know if you saw the men's match last night.
Well, look, I saw a bit of it, and it looked as if the Joker, as he's now known universally, and the changed the pronunciation of his name from Djokovic. He was always known as Djokovic here, to Djokovic.
I know.
To go with the Joker.
He's the straightest joker on earth, but he played a phenomenal match of tennis last night. Ferrer's been in great form.
Some are saying perfect tennis.
Yeah, well, he said perfect tennis. If you heard him in the press conference afterwards, he said, quote unquote, that was incredible. I was just way too good. Which has a little bit of Tomic about it. I mean, Tomic speaks like that when he loses.
Does he need someone else to do the talking for him, Greg?
But maybe he does. Maybe he does. Last night was an example that was true. It was just breathtaking tennis. He barely lost a point. Ferrer played well. He's been on song the last few weeks.
Yes.
He was just Djokovic when he really takes it to the next level. No one can go with him at the moment.
Now, this Djokovic you're talking about, that's the Joker. That's the Djokovic.
Djokovic, that's right. We'll get the pronunciation right.
Right. Now, how do you feel about these cross promos we're getting during the tennis when Todd and co? I think Todd Woodbridge made a mistake. I think he was meant to say he was going to watch My Kitchen Rules and ended up talking about MasterChef.
That's right.
Now, this is the danger you run, isn't it?
It is. I mean, one thing that is becoming clear is that I don't think Todd Woodbridge watches a lot of television. He's referenced a few shows that haven't been on air for 3 or 4 years, which just isn't great.
On 7? That's the important thing.
I'll tell you what is on 7 at the moment. It's a lot of advertising for sports bras. I don't know. I think I've learned more about sports bras in the last 2 weeks. Have you been following those?
I haven't, but there must be a market for it. But it demeans. I think it's unedifying for the commentators to have to talk about shows coming up. I remember John Alexander, now the member for Bennelong, when he was he had to endorse a show called Cougar Town.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's not really his neck of the woods.
Well, I didn't know. I just didn't believe he'd be watching Cougar Town.
It's not to his taste, you don't think?
Well, I've no idea. And if it is, I'm disappointed.
Well, one positive is it gives Bruce McAvaney something else to talk about, something else to call special. And he's done that a little bit the last few weeks on a number of shows. But, Channel 9's doing the same with its shows as well, John. I think it's...
Well, that's right. The cricket commentators now got to talk about how much they enjoy...
cooking.
Or underbelly.
Yeah,
God. And I don't believe a word of it. It's unedifying for us all, Greg.
It's distracting from the sport. Yeah. Disrespectful to the athletes.
Mm, that's true. Now, look, should we talk boxing at all? I noticed there's a big fight coming up between a chap called Daniel the Real Deal Gill and Anthony Mundine. Now, is this generating much interest out there, Greg?
Well, it's very hard for it to generate any interest at all in this sort of post-Tomic milieu in which we live, John. But it is. It's fighting for a space. And, yeah. Mundine's come out and said that there's been actually a really controversial build-up to this fight. Mundine has questioned the Aboriginality of his opponent, which is an extraordinary move, and just says his opponent's not up to it. Yeah. I think Fenech's come out in the last 2 days and said if Mundine can't win this fight, he really should hang up the gloves.
Wow.
So there's a lot...
Jeff Fenech said
this. Jeff Fenech. I mean, when he speaks, people listen.
My word.
And there's just a lot hanging on this.
So there's a lot of pressure on both fighters, you could say.
Both fighters, that's right. Are you familiar with Gill's? I'm familiar with his early work. I haven't seen much of him.
This is Daniel the Real Deal Gill? No, not too much. Not too much. He's a world champion, though.
That's right. Yeah.
He is a world champion, so he must be able to
By the standards of that
fight.
Sport, John, though, I mean, at any one point in time, there do seem to be seven world champions in every class.
In every
it's
division.
Hard to read too
well,
much into that.
That's right. WBO, WBA, IBF, IBO, IFA, ISO, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I understand. Now, this big match tonight, just getting back to tennis.
Yeah.
We have the world's number two against the world's number three. This is Andy Murray, Scotland's Andy Murray, against the Swiss maestro. Can
that's
we call
right.
him that?
He's got a very good record against Federer, but not at Grand Slams. And I don't think Federer will be too troubled by what he's seen from Andy Murray so far in this tournament. Also, a quick plug should be given to the young Australian pair, Casey Dellacqua and Ash Barty, who have first ever Australian women's pair since 77 to make the Australian Open final, playing over the weekend.
Wow. Listen, if people want to catch Greg Moore, he's on Drive with Julian Morrow every Friday. It's 8 o'clock.